College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall. I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss what's going on in college football. Week 5 gave us more upsets. I mean, if you look through the top 25, we had a variety of upsets. Texas, to name one, that clearly stands out. A couple other ones that stand out too, namely Oklahoma. I think 5 or 6 in all. Just a variety of great games all the way to the end. We had some competitive games that kind of blew up into a blowout, like Alabama 52-24 over Texas A&M. And, of course, the top 25 is kind of strangely ranked right now, so we don't really know. Like, we were talking about, is A&M really the 13th best team? They're no longer that, but they were heading into week five. So we're going to discuss, start with the recap from week 5, and then we're going to go ahead and look forward to this next week. We got some really interesting matchups, Georgia and Tennessee. Georgia looked very good last week. I was way wrong against that Auburn pick. But Tennessee, I think, has won 8 straight games. So they're looking, you know, really, really good. A game that may go under the radar, Texas Tech and Iowa State, is a really interesting game. Number 1 Clemson against number 7 Miami is a really interesting game. So there is definitely Virginia Tech, North Carolina, ranked versus ranked. Florida versus Texas A&M, kind of an interesting game. We'll see how that goes. But there is a variety of things to talk about, and we'll get into it in just a second. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. The stream's live right here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives. It's basically the headquarters. However, you don't have to just go to Blog Talk on Ropeadope and download the show there or listen to the browser. You can find this College Ball Show under the Ropeadope Radio podcast at Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, really across the board. We're also part of the Grilling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegrillingtruth.com. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And real quick, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. I use it myself. There is a 7-day free trial. Once you sign up, there's no annual contract. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere, of course. They have the cloud DVR. And right now, for signing up, you get a 30-day free trial of HBO Max. One more layer to this deal. If you sign up for the Max package, that includes HBO Max and a free month of Showtime, which is normally of $11. That's AT&T TV Now. Okay, let's get into some of this stuff. Like I said, week 5 was very entertaining. Really, week 4 last week, we spoke of how that was really the original starting date. You know what I mean? That was when the SEC came back, and it seemed like everything was almost right in the college football world. But a lot of crazy stuff happened that week and in this week. Like I said, competitive games that didn't quite end in upset, like North Carolina 26-22 over Boston College. Boston College was driving. They were very close to the end zone, ended up not going their way. They actually got in the end zone and had a 2-point conversion, took the other way, 26-22. That ended that game. But funny things like Mississippi State, you know, with the air raid just running all over the, you know, crazy stats against LSU, they turn around and lose to Arkansas and only put up 14 points. It was as if they were playing the Minnesota Gophers. That was 12 points, but whatever. There's just a variety of things. Oklahoma State kind of look like the team that a lot of people think they're going to be this year. Against Kansas, though, you know, what's that say? So there was a variety of things. Memphis lost. You know, Memphis played September 5th and then didn't play a game for 4 weeks, I think, and then finally played SMU. That was a great game, 30-27. Variety of things, happened. But the two key pieces here, and Marshall, I'm going to go ahead and bring you in now. I mean, Central Florida lost two to Tulsa. That was a little bit of a surprise, too. But Oklahoma goes down swinging to Iowa State 37-30. That was a big upset. And same with TCU beating Texas 33-31. Texas just can't be 3-0. I think it's been 8 years since they started out 3-0.
And I don't feel any sympathy at all. So Tom Herman, one of the world's greatest college football coaches, really hasn't done shit in Texas. That's surprising to some, I may say. But to me, no. It just, again, no sympathy. They should not have won last week.
Have they stopped blaming it on Charlie Strong yet or no? Is it still his fault yet or no?
Racial tensions hasn't gone away in the country, so I'm sure there's some still people who believe, yeah, it's Charlie Strong's fault. Well, now this is Herman's third year out for sure. Like, dude, okay, like you're the savior, and you have Texas, and you're whatever. And you have this great quarterback who everyone loves in Sam Ellinger. Okay, well, you should have lost Texas Tech. You needed a miracle comeback there, and then you just blew a game against TCU, who, again, on paper, you're supposed to be better than, and you're playing at home. You had some fans. They're okay, whatever. But they fumbled the ball on the goal line, and that cost them. So just another year where they're overhyped, and it really is a blow to the conference. But, yeah, I mean, to give credit to TCU. Obviously, you have a younger quarterback starting. But what really benefits them is they have a veteran coach. And I swear, like, Gary Patterson feels like he's been there for like 25 years. He's always kind of got the pissed off look on the sidelines. His teams always play hard. He's obviously a hell of a defensive masterminded coach. Like, I think the dude is just like kind of the perfect piece for TCU. And his numbers against Texas have always been good. And TCU is actually a 12-point underdog for that game. But if you watch the majority of it, I missed the variant because I was like driving. But it was just a game where Texas was making a lot of mistakes. TCU wasn't. TCU was moving the ball at will. And Texas's offense was actually doing kind of the same thing. But you just a couple mistakes at the end. And that leads to Texas going down along with Oklahoma. So, yeah, Chris, as you said, for kind of one of the main storylines of the weekend was simply the fact that the Big 12 is off to a really, really, really rough start. I know on last week's podcast, and to give you fairness, hindsight being 2020, you said, okay, I know Oklahoma lost to K-State, but they're not out of the running for it yet. Like, Oklahoma could run the table. And with their name.
I didn't say that. I said they're out. The Big 12's out. I didn't say that. They're out.
Oh,
are you talking about, like, to get the Big 12 championship? Maybe I misunderstood you. But I didn't say they're done. The Big 12's done. Last week is what we said.
Oh, okay. In the back of my head, I thought you'd said that Oklahoma could run the table and still be in. Okay. Anyways, but nonetheless, that conversation, whether I'm for whatever, but they're for sure out now because Oklahoma's lost two games in a row, which they've not done for a super long time. Texas's resume is not looking pretty. You're putting a lot of faith in Oklahoma State, K-State. West Virginia, I mean, hell, they haven't lost yet, but it's just a year where, you know, the Pac-12 is out, the Big Ten starting late. Like, okay, this could be the year where maybe, you know, the Big 12, you know, kind of goes head to head with the SEC just due to that circumstances, opportunities, the chances there. And then you'd have a massive letdown from the start. That's tough. And to talk about Oklahoma, I get you lose once to K-State. I do.
Right.
But to do it again to Iowa State, like, okay, like, obviously Rattler is not Baker. He's not Kyler. He's not Jalen. But, I mean, if you're an Oklahoma fan, you got to be wondering what the hell is going on with our team. I mean, this is a spoiled fan base like I am as a Tar Heel basketball fan. Like, I get that. College fans sometimes get very fortunate for the teams they support, but my God, I mean, what is happening with the fact that you've lost two games in a row? Like, that's, Chris, that hasn't happened. It's been a long ass time, and you're sitting at the bottom of the Big 12 now with your buddies Kansas. That's not normal territory for Sooner fans to be there with the Jayhawks. Holy shit.
No, not at all. I will say this. They do have their number one running back out and two of their top receivers out. And when you are breaking in a new quarterback that's younger, that doesn't have this experience of playing in big-time games like all those other guys we mentioned, Mayfield a little less, but the other two definitely played in big games. I mean, Murray started half the season for A&M when he was there. But either way, it's not a good look. Like you said, it is not a good look. And you know, their defense has always been garbage. And when they're not phenomenal on offense, that kind of plays into it. Texas is real mediocre at times. Sometimes they look great. It does look like their offense is good. But in, like you mentioned, since TCU actually joined the Big 12 back in 2012, they're 7-2 against Texas. So they're not afraid of the Longhorns whatsoever. And just a little bit more in there, Oklahoma 0-2 in the Big 12 play for the first time since 1998, which is not a couple of years ago. That is quite a long time ago. Yeah, they're screwed, and the other teams, like you mentioned, they're not going to do much either because they'll end up losing as well. So the Big 12 is done. They lost three games to the Sun Belt, and one of those games was Kansas State. And Kansas State, as we know, beat Oklahoma. So that triangle theory doesn't always work out to who's going to win a game, but it sure works out in rankings of you're not going to do shit. And that's not a good look. And that really puts in perspective, they've already dropped a game to a Sun Belt team. No disrespect, Sun Belt. But then that team turns around and beats the quote-unquote top program in your conference. What were you going to say?
And just to kind of to give a little bit of credit to Iowa State, I mean, you have a coach in Campbell who's been there for so many years, Chris. Every year they seem to be getting better. I guess they had a little bit of a letdown last year, but they're always achieving above expectations for a city in Ames, Iowa, which is, you know, freaking BFE, you know. So credit to him. Brock Purdy, who had a turnover last week against TCU, which made ESPN not top 10, one of the dumbest passes ever, had a nice bounce back game. And I just wish that we would have had the full crowd there. I've always kind of just enjoyed cheering for Iowa State just because they are kind of that small underdog normally with a really raucous crowd. I know some people were there, but that's a hell of a win. They had not beat Oklahoma since 62. I think they lost 28 straight games at Iowa State, which was surprising. I felt like they would have had that streak would have been shorter. They did beat Oklahoma in Oklahoma a couple of years ago for a massive upset, but credit to them. They're a scrappy team that continues to make progress as a team. And that was just a tip of the cap to them. So if you're Iowa State now, obviously your national title hopes don't exist, but hey, you beat Oklahoma, and in a year of 2020 where everything's kind of weird, like think of how much of a pedigree it would be for them to go for a Big 12 title, Chris. If you're an Iowa State fan, like, yeah, you got to have some realistic traits with yourself, but hell, to compete for a Big 12 title, like that's a legit chance of happening now since Oklahoma's 0-2, Texas is struggling. Who else is really going to scare you? That's kind of some optimism and potential to enjoy if you're an Iowa State fan.
It is wide open, and that's fun. It's kind of like how we've always been talking about on the second part of the college ball show, which is in January when the national championship is over. We go to college ball, and we always say, is this year that Kansas finally get to give up the Big 12? Well, this is one of the first. Another guy in that game, Hall, the running back, 28 for a 139 and 2 touchdowns. He really made a difference on some of those breakout runs. And it just seems like when he runs, he just puts everything into it, and he's, like, spinning around, still, like, getting loose. He played a hell of a game. And speaking of a hell of a game, Georgia just, you know, dominates Auburn. The score wasn't crazy down for a while. The game itself just dominant, 7-6. Forget the quarterback issues unless you're talking about 21-40, buck 77, in a pick for Bo Nix. Their quarterback was just all really well. 45 carries, 2.5 clip in 45 carries. That's pretty good. Jackson had a great game, 9-147 in the air. But, I mean, Georgia looks so much better than the week before. And that's really why I picked Auburn, because I was like, if they're having quarterback problems, they may go with Daniels, who hasn't played a game for them yet, but USC transfer. And, I mean, they look so good. It was the fewest points allowed versus the top 10, 1885. Georgia looked damn good, man. And Bama is rolling. They got two 100-yard games out of their wide receivers. Mechie, the third, 5 for 181 and 2 touchdowns. And Waddle had 5 for 142 and a touchdown. Jones really had a good game, 4 touchdowns total in that whomping over A&M. But I got to say, I'll admit when I was wrong, and I was definitely wrong with Georgia and Auburn. But Georgia looked damn good. And they didn't even go to who I thought would be their quarterback, because he got cleared to play, didn't get cleared to play in week one. Is that, what is it, JT Daniels? Or I forgot the guy's name now all of a sudden. But the USC transfer, who I thought was going to take over for him, they looked damn good in that game.
Yeah, they did. And my good buddy, he was telling me all morning, like, all right, so I'm going to – why should I not bet Auburn? Because he saw the plus 70. He's like, well, shit, like, Georgia's quarterbacks are struggling. Like, you know, Auburn has a quarterback who, and Bo Nix is not a potential Heisman kid. I don't think Kyle Trask is either, but we'll get to that. But, you know, he was like, okay, so a team with a better quarterback is getting 7 points, and you don't have to worry about the road issues as much as normal. I know Georgia normally has a pretty raucous crowd with all the same colored shirts, but, you know, he was like, what the hell? And after about 5 minutes after the game started, he's like, oh shit, like that's money that's just been like burnt, you know, because Auburn had nothing going. Georgia just, they dominated the pace of play from the start. Auburn couldn't get any drives going. Their offense wasn't clicking. Georgia's defense was solid. Like, there was nothing going on for Auburn, and it pretty much stayed that way the whole game, Chris. So I mean, maybe part of you thought maybe, okay, Georgia was maybe keeping their playbook pretty simple against Arkansas the week prior. Maybe Arkansas is a team better than we kind of expect after what we've seen from the last couple of games. But, yeah, for Georgia, though, for that performance, quarterback issues weren't that bad. Now, again, this kid's got a long, long ways to go. Hell, whoever they end up playing, you know, they don't have any star quarterbacks yet. But you do know with Georgia, though, one thing, Chris, always is, appears to be true for the past 10 years, or well, 5 or 6 for sure, is that you're always going to have a good set of running backs with a good defense. And, you know, if it takes you a couple weeks to figure out the quarterback, you got a little time to spare, but that's obviously an encouraging win. It's a ranked win. That's a good one on the resume. And it's one they had to have, because you could potentially be playing Bama probably twice this year. So you really were not allowed a slip up game for a team who most fans would probably say this is a team that should be contending for a title this year.
Very true. And I forgot to mention this. Since 2017, Tom Herman's first year at Texas, the Longhorns have now have 6 losses against AP ranked team, or when they're ranked against unranked. And that's the most in that time. Just a little, dig. Just
interesting.
Dig to them. Yeah. Another thing, the amount of freaking penalties, in 14 penalties in that Texas TCU game in the first 16 minutes. There's a stat here from Max Olson. The FBS record for most combined penalties in a game is 36 by San Jose State and Fresno in 1986. But I did forget about that. That was an ugly part. It's like, dude, how many penalties can we have in one game? I forgot to mention that, but that kind of stood out as something that was kind of funny, I thought. let's see, I was going to go on, oh, Central Florida. So Central Florida lost. We talked about how 39 of the last 40 games, they had put up 30-plus. Well, they only put up 26. Snapped Tulsa's 19-game losing streak to AP-ranked opponents. And it also snapped the 21-game home winning streak of Central Florida. That kind of shocked me a little bit. And so did Mississippi State, only putting up 14, losing to Arkansas 21-14. That snapped Arkansas's losing streak of 17 games to ranked opponents. And Memphis lost, too, with a 43-yard field goal with 9 seconds left. What'd you think of those upsets and just tight finishes in general? But that was part of the upsets to the layer of, like, okay, Oklahoma, Texas, some of these other ones. But that's what made Week 5 so phenomenal from a, you know, a hardcore college football fan.
Well, my dumb self came on our podcast last week and talked about how UCF is probably going to run the table and this could be their year. And I looked like a damn fool. I mean, now to give Tulsa
credit. I didn't talk you off the ledge, though, so I'm part of it.
I mean, Tulsa did play really good against Oklahoma State, but part of me was like, okay, Oklahoma State's quarterback got hurt in the first quarter, and their Oklahoma State's backup was trash. So is that really that impressive of a moral victory? You know, no, not really. So the to beat UCF, though, there was no stories I heard about that game. That was just like, oh, shit. You know, no, again, teams do have their slip-up games. Like, no college team is immortal. Like, Oklahoma, hell, no one thought they were going to lose again. So, I mean, there's reasons teams lose. But this is, as you said, a UCF team that pretty much always scores 40 points effortlessly. And they, for some reason, maybe Tulsa's defense is legit. Maybe they were going to stop down Oklahoma State that game, whether they had a backup or starter in. So, massive credit to Tulsa. That they were a massive underdog. That's not a win I saw many people picking at all. I didn't hear anyone pick it if they did. So credit to Tulsa. That's a great win. To give Mississippi State some negative props, like, okay, you made the news. Like, you beat LSU. You had your air raid.
Right.
And
taking
then,
over the SEC. Oh, maybe not.
I mean, you got a little cocky, but then you slipped up against a team who Arkansas, to give them a ton of credit, Chris, their Vegas win total for the year was 1 or 1.5. So this is a team who,
wow,
Vegas thought was going to be pure trash again. They had lost 20 SEC games in a row. So there's a lot of reasons to be like, you know, Arkansas are going to shit the bed again. But they've now, their coaching staff is really improved. They got Browse, who was Kiffin's OC from a couple years ago. And, oh, we'll get to Ole Miss, too. Don't worry about them. So they've put together a well-grouped set of coaches. Mm. You have to have a player base now that has to be like, oh, my God, like, Bielema's gone. His garbage coaching's out of here. We just won a game. We were competitive our first game. Like, there's got to be a sense of rejuvenation of losing, losing, losing were the massive joke of the conference to now, holy shit, we just beat a team who people are really high on. So I can't imagine the difference in morale there.
Yeah.
So massive credit to Arkansas. For Mississippi State, okay, you were probably really cocky going into the game. Again, you beat LSU. The whole media loves you. Then you walk to play a team who the media probably thinks is a walking mat to walk over and kill, and you slip up. So, again, that happens in college football. We see it every year, Chris. But credit to them. And now what you shouldn't do, though, is go and bet against Mike Leach for his next couple of games, too, because his style is not changing. Okay, I mean, he's gonna go make his adjustments. Again, I've heard many people say that him and Kingsbury are two of the wisest – coaches for offensive play calling in the whole country, once in the NFL, once still in college. So I don't think with you, when you've been a wise, smart goat offensive play calling coach, you're going to lose your touch. He'll make some adjustments. So I wouldn't start to fade them. I mean, it was a slip up, but I wouldn't.
Well, it's not like they're going to play the Gophers defense next week either.
So, yeah, just credit to them. And again, I could care less about Arkansas. I'm not a diehard fan. But to win a game after you've lost 20 conference games in a row, that's a good feeling. No team unless it's like Duke basketball, and they never would do that lately. But if you lose 20 games in a row in your conference, that's got to feel like a hell of a celebration to pull off a win. Just credit to them. They upset them. It wasn't pretty. Hell, they almost screwed up taking a knee. There was like...
You're right. I forgot about that.
I was watching the game, and it was like, okay, so there's about a minute 10, minute 20 left. And Felipe Franks, the quarterback, like takes a knee, but he like scoots back and he's like standing up for like 10 yards and the Lions kind of like just chopping their feet and trying to hold back the defense. And then the defense was like, what the F? And they started attacking. There's a personal foul on Arkansas. So they had to stop the clock and back the ball up 15 yards. And they had to punt. Like it was that's the sign of a team who's lost 20 games. That's how you win. When you screw up a kneel down play, you got room for improvement. But they got the job done. So it wasn't pretty, Chris, but an ugly victory over a pretty loss any day. Credit to them.
Yeah, definitely. And just to kind of wrap up some of the other games as we get through this, BYU and Louisiana Tech actually was a competitive game until it wasn't. 45-14. Wilson looked really good. 24-26, 325, two touchdowns. He added 8 rushes with 43 yards and 3 touchdowns, so 5 touchdowns total. And then SMU-Memphis game, Memphis had a tackling issue, which we've seen that, you know, with COVID. But since they didn't tackle for like a couple of weeks because they played, like I mentioned, they played September 5th and then had 3 or 4 weeks off and then played again, and they purposely didn't tackle. Well, somebody told Reggie Robertson that. The SMU wide receiver last year, he had 6 catches of 40-plus yards in 8 games, okay? This year, he already has 3-plus 50, including a 70-yard and an 85-yard touchdown. That didn't go good for him, and they shouldn't have scheduled that early. Even given an extra week or two would have helped a whole lot instead of trying to kick off that that first opening week. Like I mentioned, that North Carolina-Boston College game was a very good game all the way to the wire. There was a team that won, and I can't remember who it was now. Oh, I think it was NC State-Pittsburgh, because remember, we talked about Pittsburgh. I said, yeah, but NC State this year is really bad. Did you see that last game? Yeah, they're bad, but are they that bad? 30-29, and I think that was the game that all they had to do. What game was it? It was a game where the quarterback ran out of bounds with 1 second left in the back of the end zone rather than just moving around a little bit. Because it was like, do you punt and risk getting blocked and having the Michigan State thing happen? Or do you just take the safety, have a free punt where there's nobody going to block it? Or do you just run out the clock? I think they had like 7 or 8 seconds left. And they ran out the clock. They got to the point where nobody was going to hit the guy yet, and the quarterback still ran out of bounds. Like, what the hell? They ended up winning the game. But I was like, what are you doing? But, you know, Pittsburgh went down early, like we mentioned, or like you mentioned, I should say. You know, the fact that they always seem to sneak up and bite someone, but then somebody sneaks up and bites them. But we might as well just get to the Ole Miss Kentucky game. I never would have seen 42 and 41 points out of either squad in this game, Marshall.
No, and I think I'll give Lane credit. And he's also got a lot of work to do. That Ole Miss defense is trash. So it is going to take the Lane Kiffin offensive play calling skills to win them games, because their defense ain't stopping many people, Chris. Because as you just said, when's the last time Kentucky dropped 41 in a game? I mean, it's they're normally a 23-20 grind you out, run the ball offense. So, but if you're Ole Miss, hell, they were a 7-point dog. They found a way to win. Normally in college, until you get into like the later overtimes, you normally never miss an extra point. But once they missed the extra point, all you had to do was score and make yours. So credit to Ole Miss. That a lot of people, I think, were kind of surprised, because last year Ole Miss had that John Rhys-Plumlee at QB, and that kid could run. it looked like he was Usain Bolt out there. Like the kid is just a massive runner, but he got beat out in practice by this Matt Corral kid who apparently impressed Kiffin and the other coaches. And he's been putting together a pretty good offense so far. So again, I love the offense, but it's going to be a gut check time. I believe that's what people say in the sports world, Chris, because my boy Kiffin is going up against his old predecessor who taught him all stuff this week. So I'll
talk about. Who's not friendly to other coaches when they go head up, are they?
I'll talk about Kiffin next week, but I don't think if they win, you might just want to take the podcast off.
We're gonna have to label we're gonna have to rename the freaking podcast.
I could be going solo next week.
Kiff's Corner.
If Ole Miss beats Bama.
Kiffin's Corner, dude. Jesus.
I might have to send my co-host a good bottle of whiskey for a Venmo it up to from Texas to Minnesota for him to handle the whatever his drink of choice is for him to handle that. But
nice one for him. Svedka. Yes, Svedka. That's all I'm gonna say.
So, yeah, credit to them. But I hit my quote. I'll move on. One game that would have made, I would say, some tabloids, and I know that this team is kind of trash, but the game under them on ESPN was Jacksonville State, Florida State. And if you were watching that game, actually, I doubt many people were, but
that's
you had
a big
that game.
If. Yeah, I was going to say capital I, capital F.
If you had the game on your ESPN bottom line ticker, which I saw, it was 14-0 Jacksonville State. And in fairness, I've not seen the score since Saturday. So I wasn't actually sure who won. But Florida State did come back to win. But God, I mean, Miami sent you to a different world. I mean, Miami kicked the crap out of them. And if they would have lost to Jacksonville State, I know Norvell's got COVID. It's not been an ideal start for them. But just, and that's all I got to say, but Florida State almost blew one to Jacksonville State. So man, that program is just struggling. It's funny, Chris, because every year, and I'm sure you probably get tired of hearing as Hurricanes fans every year, man, Florida State, they'll get back on the map this year. The I think they've been driving drunk for about the past 6 years because that map has still been lost, my friend.
Yeah. And they're the offensive lineman recruitment. I don't know what the hell's going on there, but it's been bad for so long now. And, you know, I mean, they made that championship run and won it at the buzzer. But ever since then, well, they did make it back that one year and then Oregon kind of messed them up.
Good old crab legs.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he was getting on his soapbox, but not like a political thing. You know what I mean, he was saying something, announcing it to the cafeteria. But that was a couple years ago. We won't get into that. Last scene throwing a bunch of interceptions anyway. But yeah, it was a fun week. And another positive, there was only two postponements this week, whereas we were averaging about five or six games. So here we are, week five, only two postponements. And there's only, and those were the two going into the week and nothing changed. So there's only one postponement this week on schedule. And I haven't heard of a breakout yet. It's Monday, though. So who knows? And we don't really know because a lot of the colleges don't share the information. But even if it's only two games again next week, that would be a positive. Because I really think the Big Ten in the Pac-12 with the daily testing, I don't think they're going to miss games. The funny thing is, though, there'd be about three teams, if not four, if they would have, you know, went with their normal schedule, the Big Ten, that would have missed two games already. Well, actually, in Illinois and Michigan wouldn't even came back in the original thing because two of those teams weren't going to come back, and then that's why they halted it. But we can kind of play off, like, we want to talk about Florida a little bit because they're the Pitts and Kyle, what is it, not Trash, but Trask? It's Trask, right?
Yeah, it's Trask, yeah.
Because that's a close one there with the trash thing. He's not trash. 10 touchdowns, six of them have gone to Pitts, who looks like a tight end / wide receiver. And they played, you know, the defense, I don't know what's totally up with them, but they are putting up points. And that was always the problem with Florida, is putting up points to go along with the variety of talent that they usually had especially on the defensive line, in the secondary, cornerbacks especially, right? But safeties too. They got a game coming up, week 6, Florida and Texas A&M. Now, Texas A&M somewhat hung a little bit, right, with Alabama until they didn't. Virginia Tech and North Carolina, we get to see what these two teams are made of this season, both 2-0. A couple other, I mean, the Red River. I mean, 1-2 and 2-1, but ranked 22nd is Texas and unranked Oklahoma. How many times has that happened, you know, in the Red River shootout? But let's talk about some big games coming up. Obviously, Clemson, Miami, we'll get to that in a second. But is Florida for real? And then how's this Texas-Oklahoma game going to turn out besides, you know, an over-under that'll probably be in the 70s?
Can you imagine being an Oklahoma fan and you start out 0-3? Oh, God.
Dude, we might have to put him in the crafty pick of the week here soon.
Holy shit. I mean, losing to K-State, okay, it's a hiccup. It happened last year. Then you lose to Iowa State. Oh, they're always – I mean, but then you lose – oh, God. Yeah. And then Texas is going to feel like they're all world because they beat a bad Oklahoma team. Oh, Lord. We'll see. It'll be interesting. I mean, normally that would be like the top game we're talking about for the week, and it will get the media recognition. But as you've said, Chris, from a football perspective, it might be a fun game to watch. But if we're talking true good teams, this ain't that. You got two teams who combined have both looked really bad their past 2 weeks. I think that one thing for the game, I mean, we don't need a huge time on this, but I think obviously Sam Ellinger playing in this game a lot before is an advantage for Texas. Normally, and this is for anything. This is for when you're Florida State or when you're Miami boys play Florida State, like it's always a tough rivalry game for a quarterback for his first time. And obviously Rattlin for Oklahoma is really going to get his feet wet. Cause you're playing a Texas team who, you know, it's your biggest rival, and clearly Rattler has been having some issues so far too. So, I think the inexperience would lean towards, Texas for quarterback help. Defensively, we know Oklahoma is going to give up points, but I don't think Texas's defense is by means any great this year too. So I don't know. I'm with you. I think it'll be a high scoring affair. A fun game to watch. I guess you'd have to barely lean Texas because the quarterback play of Oklahoma has not been that good yet. And I don't think you can take them.
Yeah, I like Texas in that game. I think that those key guys, I think two out of the three guys missing this year, it's just a little too much with that type of experience and the inexperience, like you said. What about Florida, Texas A&M? I think we're both on the same page that Florida will win. But is Florida for real? They're number 4 in the country. That could be inflated, obviously. It's not like they have they beat Ole Miss and South Carolina. South Carolina is a pretty good club. Ole Miss, we're going to find out about. I know it's blasphemy to say they're a bad club, so I won't say it. We're going to find out a little bit more about them. They also have LSU coming. And then early November, they have Georgia coming as well. Kentucky and Tennessee to close out the year. Is this Florida team for real? Because it seems like they're giving up like a grip of, points kind of out of nowhere. They're almost giving up 30 points a game. Very unlike Florida, who usually, like I mentioned, it's the roles are reversed and they can't put points on the board unless it's like a pick six or a punt return.
Yeah, I just don't quite get all the Kyle Trask love yet. I mean, okay, the kid's good. But let's be realistic. You lit up Ole Miss's defense, who's trash. Kentucky lit him up. Okay, so that doesn't really impress me. And then you lit up South Carolina, who you were like an 18-point favorite over. So, okay, he's done his part. But if we're looking for quarterbacks to do their part, I mean, then let's talk about UCF's quarterback each week. Like, you know, a quarterback doing good against bad defenses doesn't impress me yet. I mean, now you're going up a little bit of a tougher team, obviously, in Texas A&M. I think, even though they got ran out the gym by Bama last week in the second half. So I think that, okay, Florida's offense is better than normal, which is fair, but I would calm down. I think the hype for this kid is a little bit high. I think you'll get a pretty good Texas A&M performance because they were pretty shitty week one. You got smoked by Bama week two. I would assume that Jimbo would have the guys ready to go week three. And as you said, Chris, the Florida's defense hasn't been that spectacular either. Like, the Ole Miss was scoring, they just Florida scored a lot more. And South Carolina was doing okay. So I think the number four ranking's a little bit high. I'm not sure who the hell you'd put in their spot. It seems like every top team has been looking pretty rough this year. So could they win the game? Absolutely. But is Florida a star quarterback and a team that's going to be making a deep push for it? I wouldn't go there yet. But now if Florida's still top five in the next couple weeks, I'll start to give more credit. But I would still wait and see and be a little hesitant on the love for the Gators so far, in my opinion, my friend.
And Pitts, though, is going to play on Sundays, though. That dude is a freaking beast, man. He is a big dude out there. Let's combo these games up. Georgia, Tennessee, and my squad, Miami and Clemson, 1-7. 14, Tennessee against Georgia. Number three, Georgia looked great. Tennessee, though, 8 in a row. When you look at it, two of them were against South Carolina. They beat a mediocre club in Indiana in the bowl game. No ranked teams. You know, they were SEC games, some of them, no doubt. I think five of them. But, you know, they haven't beaten a ranked team in that eight-game winning streak. I like Georgia in this. I think it'll be a game until somewhere in the third quarter. I think Tennessee will come to play. They do have momentum with that 8 games in a row. They do seem like they got a pretty good quarterback now. And then Clemson, you know, it's just hard to beat Clemson. And Miami's look great, especially offensively. I think it'll be a better battle. Can they sneak under the 14.5 points? I think it's possible, especially it's not like Clemson's played a bunch of games. They played three, but they haven't they've played like a high caliber team just yet. They haven't. So, but they've looked good doing it. What do you think about those two games? And should we kind of pump the brakes on Tennessee and let them beat a ranked team before we say, hey, this squad's really, they're moving in the right direction, but you still got to get over the hump. I don't think they're going to get over the hump on Saturday.
I hope they do. I think it'd be awesome. I mean, I have no reason to cheer for George. I have a good friend's Tennessee fan. So, but yeah, you're right, Chris. They're massively better. They were a laughingstock, and they were getting shit because, like, I know Arkansas was bad for a while, but people kind of expected them to be bad. Like, the Tennessee being down was not really expected. Like, this is you guys always talk that you're a good program, but it felt like since, you know, Peyton Manning was there, like, it's been kind of a bumpy road. So you're massively in the right direction. So you're making progress.
Well, they won
progress.
The national championship the year Peyton Manning left, but we won't get into that.
So, you know, they're back on the right track after being pretty much a hot mess for like 5 or 6, probably 7, 8 years. So from that perspective, yeah, this is probably the biggest Tennessee football game in the past 6 or 7 seasons. So from that perspective, you got to be optimistic. Again, Georgia, they've not looked super. I want to see the quarterback do it again. Okay, did the kid look good against Auburn? Sure, but I think a lot of that was Georgia's defense saying, "Hey," like Georgia's defense said, "F it, we're not losing this game." I'm not sure if Georgia's quarterback is that star-studded yet. Now you're going to play against another team who's probably going to be a little more capable offensively. I would think, like, putting up 6 points is pretty rare. So I would lean to bet Tennessee. I think you get a little bit of value there. And for the other game you mentioned, you're right. It's so hard to fade Clemson. Like, they're still the best team in conference, and it's just North Carolina's gotten better. Like, these teams have gotten better, but every year that we got to talk about teams getting better, but Clemson gets better each year too. So it's really hard to ever just, yeah. And
we got a pretty decent dude under the helm there too, you know?
Yeah, and Vegas normally puts the Clemson lines pretty high, so I know a lot of times it's intriguing to want to bet against Clemson, but they're not a team where it's like, oh man, you bet against them and they won't cover. Like, you know, they don't pump the brakes like Saban does in the second half. Like, they normally score their points. Their defense is normally a good team. Like, if you want to bet against Clemson, it's always kind of a dangerous, it's a dangerous risk because they probably deserve to be almost a 20-point favorite against every team in their conference. And majority of the time they cover it, or it's going to be super, super close to not, you know, to losing that bet.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm looking at it saying 14.5. Can my Canes get underneath that? And it just feels like I'm emotionally making that decision based off the offense now. And I don't know. They're still missing their best defensive lineman who chose not to play this year. I don't know. I want him to, but you know what? It is funny, though. This is the Canes' third out of 5 weeks prime to – or not less than 5 weeks, actually, because they started 2 weeks later, I think. But they're three out of four games have been in prime time on ABC. And it's funny. When the NCAA wants to say, we're going to get rid of this program, they'll bring up Miami. But when they need ratings, who do they come calling for, Marshall? Oh, they come calling for the Hurricanes, because everybody at least – loves or hate the Hurricanes. No matter what, you got something to say about the Hurricanes. So it is kind of funny how you need to get bailed out, NCAA. But anyway, I digress. I am picking Virginia Tech over North Carolina as a somewhat slight underdog, 5.5 points as it stands. I do think Florida will cover 5.5 over A&M. I think that's a pretty clean win. Virginia and NC State, are we sure that Virginia can win by 9 points over this hot NC State team? That I don't know. Duke and Syracuse, who gives a crap except for take a gander in the fourth quarter. Same with Texas Tech, Iowa State. The newly ranked number 24 Iowa State. That should be kind of interesting as a game goes. Boston College, Pitt. Pitt's favored by 6. That should be a pretty damn good game. TCU, Kansas State. TCU is an 8-point favorite. Are we sure that they can win that game by 8? Couple other matchups, kind of Kentucky, Mississippi State. Kentucky trying not to go 0-3. And like I said, only one postponement so far, UAB and Rice. What are your thoughts on some of these other games here? And then we'll get to the crappy pick of the week here and close out the show.
I think Kentucky-Mississippi State's a really fun matchup. Kentucky's still trying to kind of revamp the offense, going from a team that doesn't run the ball 80 times a game to trying to mix it up. And you have a Mississippi State team who's kind of the opposite of Kentucky. Kentucky's kind of blue collar grit and grind offense. Mississippi State's 5 wide. Again, I wouldn't lose all faith in Mississippi State after one loss, because Mike Leach is going to give you the same product. So poor Kentucky's gone from having to slow down an Ole Miss offense. Now you have a freaking whole mess again. So if you're Kentucky, you best be ready to go, because Mike Leach and the guys are probably going to be more prepared. Costello, who again had a pretty shit game last week. I don't care what the numbers say. I know he's got 936 passing yards this year already, but if you watched him play against Arkansas, it wasn't pretty. Hell, there was a play in the fourth quarter where they were running for a first down. He kind of just like sat down like he was a little kid in like school, kind of like sat down on his butt and didn't want to go for a first down, which could have been helpful. So he wasn't going the extra yards, wasn't making great plays. You'd expect he'd do better. So that actually should be a really fun game to watch. I don't see a lineup on ESPN yet, but maybe they're waiting on something. I don't know. But that should be a really fun watch. And you mentioned K-State and TCU. I'm not sure why TCU is an 8-point favorite.
That seems high.
Yeah. You had unless there's an injury bug or a COVID bug that K-State has. TCU lost to Iowa State in a close game. and you beat Texas in a close game. Getting 8 points against a K-State team who has looked just as good as you or better. Again, unless there's an injury bug I'm missing, like, I would gladly take K-State in that situation. Could TCU win? Absolutely. But, again, you've lost by 3 and won by 2. Right. So, from my point of view, they appear to be pretty evenly skilled teams. And K-State's a pretty solid offensive squad. TCU's a pretty good defensive team. Like, I think that spread is.
They're not going to back down. You know, that's something we know about that program.
No, not at all. And another line I would enjoy looking at is Auburn is minus 16.5 against Arkansas, which they could possibly cover. But so far, Arkansas in both the first halves of their games have been a really good team. Mm-hmm. And I got to imagine, if you're getting Arkansas, you're getting a team who, holy shit, we won the first game in 3 years of SEC play, and we're playing a quarterback in Bo Nix who wasn't that good last week. I definitely think I would look at Arkansas first half because, hell, I don't think Auburn's going to have some freaking, you know, offensive showcase. So I would really look at Arkansas first half. You're probably going to get at least 7 or 8 points in that first half spread and hope they kind of play like they have been. So I see some value.
But isn't Bo Nix the savior for Auburn football because his dad was the offensive coordinator? Doesn't that line up just automatically?
The savior
story.
Was. Yeah.
It's a good story.
I didn't see a savior last week. I'll say that.
I mean, he's saving it, maybe. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
He's just saving it.
Yeah,
sure. He's saving it for a couple games.
So, I don't know. But
that is a good call, though, with the Auburn-Arkansas. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Maybe they have a little bit of a run in the second half. But yeah, you got good value there, in my opinion. Good value on an Arkansas team who you can't say the team is going to be overhyped. Hell, they're probably going to be the most focused they've been all the time.
Dude, they may get COVID. They may get COVID that we still have.
True. That's
Is there an over under on that? How many players are going to get COVID for Arkansas after the party that they had?
I got to imagine it's pretty high.
All right, should we get to the crappy pick of the week? We'll start with recap from last week and get to. There's about 3 games I'm looking at it that you could choose from.
All right, well, last week we went with the good old Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. They've been mentioned in years prior. The Western Kentucky Hilltoppers did have a 20-17 victory. So they got the job done. They got the W. The Hilltoppers walked into Middle Tennessee, Blue Raider country, and they got a win. It wasn't pretty. You know, people thought it would be a little more of a precise victory. But, you know, a W is a W, so credit to them. That puts us to 2-0 on the year. You know, if we're talking money lines, 2-0, so the boys are given winners. This week, we're gonna go to what is normally a really enjoyable college basketball game, but normally not a really high-ranked football game, especially of late. So we're going to some teams I kind of hate for sure, and Chris probably knows where I'm going. So, but I don't really care about football. I could give two shits about these teams. But
thought you were gonna go with the FIU and bring in Middle Tennessee again because they're both O's. That's where I thought we were going.
I kind of feel bad about.
I like it.
I feel bad about using repeat offenders. There's kind of a slap in the face. I feel
beats.
A team doesn't deserve. Yeah.
That is
so. We're going with Duke against Syracuse. Now, again, I'm a Tar Heel diehard basketball fan, so I always kind of have a little bit of a sour taste for Duke. I don't really care about their football team. But, yeah, per se. So Duke is 0-4 this year in conference play, and they're playing the Syracuse Orangemen, who many say are a shit team this year. And from looking at the numbers, you can't disagree too much. So this game is at 11:30 a.m. Central Time on ESPN. 3, so you can easily stream that on your phones for $5 a month, ESPN Plus. Go get that app. So the game's at the Carrier Dome. The last time Syracuse had a great player in my mind was Donovan McNabb, so it's going back a ways. And Duke is a 2.5-point favorite. Chris, I'm gonna let you enjoy this one. This is, again, if this is Coach K against the guy that hits people with his car, we could be talking a pretty good game here, but it ain't. So go ahead.
Well, we can't.
You like that intro there?
Yeah, I do like it. We can't make fun of the Carrier Dome because, you know, I mean, it isn't really. I actually was going to do a layer there, but I don't want to go down that way. It was going to play off the Coach K thing, and I don't. I think that I can't do it. But neither of them can run the ball worth a shit compared to college football, obviously. Both of them give up a lot of points. Neither of them can score. They're sitting at 17.5 Duke and 17.7. If you're not getting the 20 points in college football, you might as well down to D2. Just skip the FCS. 32 points in 24, that is bad. And overall, total yards, my goodness. 359 to 243? What are you doing, Syracuse? Do you have power forwards on your offensive line? They can't pass. They can't run. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. They can't do anything. They can lose. They're pretty good at losing. Somehow, some way, though. Well, a couple years back, they did make a nice run as a team, and it looked like they were turning a corner. I did forget about that because didn't they beat they almost beat Clemson. Or did they beat them?
No, they
that close they, game. They beat them.
Well, yeah, because Clemson, the quarterback got hurt.
Right, yeah, right. So, but they had a good season that year. Like, it was like, okay, they're coming back. But that
– Oh, yeah, yep.
You know what I mean? They have played – this is their fifth game, both of them. So, I mean, that means something. Or, no, wait, fifth game for Duke, okay. Man, they got an early start. Wow, they haven't won a game yet. So, why not? They are the favorite, though, right? They haven't won a game, but they're the favorite. According to ESPN's, and we had to get the quota in here, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, Syracuse is favored 56.8% to win this game. I'm going with the Duke Blue Devils to come into the Carrier Dome and carry a win out, get their first win of the year. The last time they won a game was, you know it, somehow Miami lost to them last year. That team was really despicable last year. I'm going to go with them getting over the hump, even though they lost 26-6 to BC. I'm still doing it. I don't care because Syracuse just looks – well, they did just come off a win. Oh, boy. No, I got to stick to my guns. I don't feel confident at all, but Duke's going to get it done. First win of the season, I got Duke.
And as the cherry on top is that we've been enemies this year now, I always like to compare alumni versus alumni battle. Now, clearly, there's a ton of alumni. It seems like half the people from ESPN went to Syracuse because they have a great journalism program. The top names for Syracuse alumni, the TV show guy Dick Clark, Bob Costas, Vanessa Williams, I think from Good Morning America, the actor Taye Diggs, Jerry Stiller is a longtime actor. Obviously Donovan McNabb.
Hold on. Did you say Vanessa Williams? What'd you say after that? American what?
Good isn't like Good Morning America?
Yeah, but she was a singer and actress way before any of that. Let's put that in perspective.
I appreciate the insight. I was unaware of that, sir. Obviously you got Mello, you got Mike Tirico. L. Day. I didn't know L. Davis, the Raiders guy.
I didn't know that either.
Huh. Okay. Jim Brown, Dwight Freeney. I mean, the list of sport guys is pretty impressive. I did not know that L. Davis though was a.
I didn't know that. I knew Jim Brown. But wow.
Megan Kelly. Okay. All right. So that's a pretty impressive alumni. Then we gotta talk about this.
Tells me it's a basketball heavy from. I don't know
why. Actually, not really.
You're first just not going to name the players?
No, the first name up is David Rubenstein. Is that some name that we're supposed to be? What has this guy done?
I can't place it, but he is.
He's a American businessman and philanthropist. Yeah. He's a former analyst and a lawyer, co-founder of the Carlyle Group. A global private equity
that's
investment company.
Yeah,
oh, he's some just rich white collar Duke fraud. Yeah. Okay, whatever. You know, way to be helpful. Melinda Gates. I did not know that. Is that Bill Gates as well? Okay. All right. Well. Yeah. Okay. And then you got Grant Hill. Then you got
Elizabeth. Don't say it like that. And then you got Grant Hill. I mean, Grant Hill's a stud. You can say Leitner like.
Yeah, Grant Hill was a good man. Yeah, Leitner is a good man. Leitner's a punk. Carlos Boozer is actually the next basketball name up yet. Mike Posner, Ken Jeong from the Hangover. I haven't seen Redick finally popped up there after Ron Paul and Rand Paul. Oh God Almighty, what a freaking Jay Billis, Seth Curry, Kyrie. There's so many different political ideas. I mean, we got a flat earther, we got a crazy Republican senator in Kentucky. Good old 90-foot walk with Jay Billis, which I think is one of the corniest segments of ESPN they do all year. And I'll do one last flick to wrap this up. Anyone else? Oh, we got some black and white photos. I think they're running out of people. Oh my God. Jabari Parker's name popped up before Shane Battier. Oh, Lord. That is a slap. And Jason Tatum's down there. You know, Chris, if they're doing the power rankings of alumni, Jason Tatum needs to be in front of a couple of people, in my opinion. I'm not even a Duke fan, but come on now. Like, you know, I don't know. Anyways, for the alumni battle, I give the win goes to Syracuse. They produced more successful people. They're a more productive school, and I'm just going to end it at that. All purpose. Yeah, all purpose for sure. They you know, Duke produces guys that fade away in the NBA. Syracuse gives us ESPN workers. Like, that, I don't even think that's a discussion, my friend.
This is true. Why don't you get us out of here, sir?
So, again, if you want to go if you want to go 3-0, bet the Dukies. Okay, we're 2-0 so far this year for money lines. Keep following the crafty pick of the week. It hits a 70% clip. I'm not making that up. We find ways to make those games happen and win y'all money. So until then, enjoy college football. I'm sure some crazy upsets will happen this year, or I should say this weekend, like they have been going so far. There's so many unpredictable parts with scheduling and COVID and college and all that. If Ole Miss beats Bama, you're going to want to tune in next week. I promise you're going to want to tune into that show. So until then, stay safe. Get ready to vote here soon. Mask up. We're out tonight. Peace.